All right, you can be seated. Welcome, Fruit Cove family and guests, those that are in the building and also those that are watching on the internet or listening online. I hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend with family and friends. Hopefully by now the tryptophan is worn off and you've recovered from all that shopping on Friday and you're present, ready to listen and hear from God's word. If you have come this morning looking forward to hearing from Pastor Tim, maybe you are from out of town or visiting for the weekend. I'm not him. The surgery didn't make him younger. My name is Dan Elkins, and me and my family have had the privilege of serving the past 16 months as Fruit Cove's high school and college pastor. And it is a joy to be given the opportunity to open God's word together. Me and my family are thankful for what the Lord is doing, not just among students here at Fruit Cove, but all the ministries of Fruit Cove. And I just want to, you know, start off by saying it's a joy to serve here, be one of the pastors here, serve on the staff here. And I want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you, because it is a joy to serve at a church with a group of people that love Jesus, love this church, love this community, and have a passion that everyone here and around the world hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's been a joy to serve. It's a joy this morning to open up God's word together. If you have a copy of God's word, you can turn to the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. I've known for about a month now that I was going to be preaching this morning. And as many of you know, we have spent the past year going verse by verse through the book of Galatians. And then starting next Sunday, Pastor will start a series of December sermons on hope. And so when I was asked to preach this morning, I was told you could pick anything out of the other 65 books of the Bible, just not Galatians. Piece of cake, right? Or should I say piece of pie, right? Just pick anything you want out of the entire Bible. So as I've spent time over this past month praying about what to preach, I kept coming back to these three verses in Colossians chapter 3. It's three verses that I challenged our high school students and leaders to memorize throughout the month of November, Colossians 3, 15 through 17. It's three verses that talk about being thankful. And the more that I read and I studied these verses, the more that I realized that thankfulness is not something that you create. It's not something that you manufacture. I don't know if you have traditions around Thanksgiving. Hopefully some of you were able to do some traditions this weekend that maybe you didn't get to do a year ago. When I grew up, my family was very diverse when it came to our Thanksgiving traditions. Some Thanksgivings, we traveled to my grandparents' town where my parents met, and we had almost like a big family reunion for Thanksgiving. I remember the Thanksgiving food just everywhere, like in my grandmother's dining room and kitchen. And it was just this mob of people, many who came up to me, so excited to see me, and I had no clue who they were. Some Thanksgivings were just intimate Thanksgivings at home with just me and my brother and my parents. But the thing that I remember always happening at some point over that Thanksgiving day was that we would stop and say things that we are thankful for. Sometimes it would be around the dining room table. Sometimes it would be as we prayed over the meal. We would stop and say what we're thankful for. And if you're relying on going around the dining room table once every 365 days, listing things that you're thankful for to make us truly thankful, then I'm sure most of you know by now, less than 3 days later, that that's not going to cut it. If we make a list once every 12 months of the 30 things or 100 things or even 1,000 things that we're thankful for, that won't rub off on us the other 11 months of the year. These three verses, beginning in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3, shares the secret. It shares the secret of what it means to truly be thankful, to be full of thankfulness. Now, Paul has spent the first two chapters of this book lifting up Christ, reminding the Colossians to make Jesus, him and him alone, supreme in their lives and our lives. And then he gets to chapter 3, and he talks about when Jesus is in control. He talks about how things radically change. The old is removed or taken off or put away. The anger, the wrath, the malice, the filthy language. And the new is put on. Love and kindness and humility and patience. Just like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And so if you're here this morning, you're listening to this, and you've never experienced this radical change in your life, today can be that day. Today can be the day that if you let Jesus rule and reign in your life, if you come to the point of surrender where you believe Jesus is who he says he is, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless, perfect life, that he died on the cross for my sins and for your sins, and that he rose again, and you confess this Jesus, you surrender to him as Lord, he can radically change your life. But then what this passage tells us is that once that happens, you have to continue to let him rule and reign in your life. You have to continue to come to the fountain. Not for salvation. We believe that once you're truly saved, you are always saved. But by allowing Christ to fill you up over the top, stuffed full of thankfulness. So that's the title of my message today. When you are overflowing with Christ's peace and his word, and you are about his actions, then you will truly be stuffed with thankfulness. Look what it says in God's word in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you also indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now in this room and listening online, listening on the radio, wanting, dear Lord, you to rule and reign in our lives. And this Thanksgiving weekend in 2021, dear Lord, help us to be so full of thankfulness because of who you are, what you've done, and what you are doing in our lives. And have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that you see in this passage that you are to do to be truly thankful is, number one, let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule. Easier said than done, right? Letting the peace of Christ rule. The world we live in is the opposite of peace. Amen? In fact, that's why we don't say, let the peace of the world rule, because that doesn't happen. In fact, the peace that you sometimes see in the world is a false peace. It doesn't exist. It's only temporary peace. Instead, we look to the Prince of Peace, and we let his peace rule in our lives. One of the things that I do remember about all family gatherings in the Elkins household is that usually at some point during Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, whatever it was that we gathered together, we would always spend some time playing board games. Anybody play some board games this week? And there's one thing that you need to know about the Elkins family is that mom, dad, son, brother, we are all super competitive when it comes to any board game. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever board game we were participating in, whether it was Monopoly, Life, Risk, Clue, it doesn't matter if it's Candyland, right? We wanted to win. We wanted the satisfaction of standing over our family, declaring that we are the winner. We are the champion. We have won this game of Candyland better than any of you, right? Peace comes when we give up trying to win and let Christ win. Let Christ rule in our lives, right? It's putting the pieces of this life down and saying to Jesus, "Jesus, you can have it all. You can rule in my life, because that ultimately is what gives us peace. Peace comes when we let Christ rule, not just in the moment of our salvation, but when we let Christ rule all of our lives, right? When we look to Christ, taking our eyes off the world and putting it on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder or author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's not just that you're thankful when things are going well, but it's in the tough times of life as well. Sickness, financial issues, stress, pressure at school or work. Things don't go your way when we lose something we care about. It is in those moments and all other moments of our life where we have to let the peace of Christ rule. Let him be in control. Let him win. It says here, let that peace of Christ, peace of God, rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. That moment when you joined the family, when you were saved, and it says, and be thankful. Now, what's interesting about that kind of what sounds like a command is be is the verb and thankful is the adjective describing the verb. So what is the verb? What is the action? We're all always about action. We're always about what do we need to do? And he says, just be. Just let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Allow the thankfulness. That word in there, thankful, the adjective literally means graceful, grateful, where we get the word grateful for. Graceful, thankful for God's grace. It's where we get the word Eucharist from. It's Eucharitos. It says giving thanks. God's grace works well for our eternal gain and his glory. And so what he's saying here is that when we let Christ rule, when his peace rules in our heart, no matter what happens in our life, his peace is always there. His grace is sufficient. It's not just enough to get us by. It is overflowing grace. It is stuffed full of thankfulness, overflowing. The British preacher R.E.O. White explained this fullness of Christ's peace like a bucket of water. He said, the surest sign that you are carrying a full bucket is when you have wet feet. Anybody here ever had to try to carry a full bucket to go wash your car or carry a full bucket, back in the day, right? And no matter how careful you tried to carry that bucket, that water was always going to slosh out, right? And so when you go through life and there is anger and worry and sadness, let the peace of Christ rule, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and allow that peace of Christ and that thankfulness to slosh out all over you. But none of us are perfect, right? What if you blow it? What if you're not stuffed with thankfulness? You're not overflowing. You're lacking. You go through moments of life when you're unloving, unkind, selfish, prideful, harsh, quick-tempered, unforgiving, not trusting and resting in the peace of Christ and unthankful. You go back to Jesus, right? You just go back to Jesus, not just his peace, but who he is, the Word of Christ. Verse 16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness or grace in your hearts to the Lord. Number one, you let the peace of Christ rule. But number two, you let the Word of Christ dwell. You let the Word of Christ dwell in your life. You let God's Word, the truth of God's Word, let it be what defines you. It's not the job that you have. It's not your GPA at school. It's God's Word. It's whatever it says you do, whatever it says you believe, whatever it says, it's true. But how do we know what God's Word says if we don't even read it? How can we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly when we don't even stop to take time to read this word and allow it to live with us? You have to wonder what's going on in a heart that spends so much time in this and not in this. Or how much time we spend in this, then this, or this, then this, right? And what this passage is saying is that the key to thankfulness, the key to a life of peace, is to allow the word of Christ, Jesus himself, the Logos, the word, to dwell in you richly. Romans 6:18 says, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to righteousness. A new heart is no longer a slave to this world or the things of this world, but is a slave to righteousness. And then Matthew 5:6 says that we should hunger and yearn for the word of God and the things of God. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. What is something you hunger or yearn for? It's amazing that as Americans, we've taken a holiday that was meant to remind us about God's faithfulness and protection and Thanksgiving in our life, and we've turned it into food, right? But yet, there were things this past Thursday that you were really looking forward to having. In fact, it's one of the most commonly asked questions about Thanksgiving is, if it's not, what are you thankful for? The second most asked question about Thanksgiving is, what are you looking forward to eating, right? What is it? There's some dishes, especially some that are prepared by relatives, that we can't wait until we get that deliciousness in our mouth, right? We think about it for days or weeks in advance. I can't wait for, you know, grandmother's green bean casserole, or I can't wait for, you know, this aunt's stuffings, or I can't wait until the deviled eggs, right? I mean, it's just something you can't stop but thinking about and yearning for. Our desire for food should not be insignificant compared to our desire to yearn for the things of God. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell means to live in or to abide. It says, don't just hang out with you, but let the word of Christ live with you richly. And you want to know how you know God's word is changing you, transforming you, dwelling with you richly? It changes you. It changes your accent, what you say and how you say it. It changes your habits. It changes your attitudes. Some of you know that a few weeks ago, Pastor Jonathan and I had the opportunity to travel across the pond to London, to Britain, to visit some of the churches that we have been supporting and praying for and helping plant over these last number of years, many of whom we've not seen in person over the last 2 years. And one of my most memorable moments while I was over there was after we had worshiped on Sunday morning in one of Charles Spurgeon's first church plants there in London. We were outside in the foyer, right outside the church, greeting people as they left. And they paused, and one of the people say, we just love your accent, which I thought was hilarious because I'd spent the last 24 hours just being mesmerized by all this British accents and just wanting to sit, you know, on the subway and just listen to them talk, right? And just listen to their accent. But where does the accent come from? Some of us have a deep Southern accent. Some people I've met here in the last 16 months have listened for my accent and tried to figure out where I was born and where I was raised. Where do our accents come from? They come from our surroundings. They come from what we hear as a child. It comes from the things that we speak and how we speak them. It comes from what we take in and allow to dwell in us. And so does our accent speak Christ? Do we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us so richly that it changes what we say and how we say it? Does it change our habits? Do you want to read your Bible before you check your phone, before you play a game, before you watch a show? Does it change your attitude from unloving to tender mercies, from unkind or mean to kindness, from selfish, prideful to humble, from harsh to meek and gentle, from quick-tempered to long-suffering, unforgiving to forgiving and bearing. And he says here, not only do you allow the word of Christ to dwell so richly in your heart that it teaches and admonishes you in all wisdom, but then it says singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It puts a song in your heart. Want to know when you know that the peace of Christ rules and the word of Christ dwells in you richly? Puts a melody in your heart. Whether you've been blessed with the gift of voice and song or not. One of the other most interesting things that I experienced while I was over there was the pastors and I that I went got the opportunity to go and visit one of the mosques. There's a very large Muslim population in London. And so for part of our week over there and wanting to learn what was going on, we wanted the opportunity to go and visit Imam in the Wimbledon Mosque. And one of the more terrifying things that I've ever done in my life, you sign up for this in advance and then you're walking in and you're like, what have I agreed to do? This is going to be very interesting. But it was an opportunity to get to talk to these Muslims and to find out what is going on in their culture and to hear ways that we could pray for them and love them. And I remember one conversation that I had with this imam, the leader of a mosque of thousands of Muslims in Wimbledon, outside the south part of London. And one of the things that I remember just stuck out to me was that he was describing to us their prayer services and what they do. And he every Friday, he has the opportunity to speak out of the Quran. And every day, they have multiple prayers a day. But he made a comment that they don't have any music in their mosque. They don't have any instruments. They feel like the reciting the Quran in this in Arabic in this melodic tone is their way. And he made a comment. He said, Christians, you have music almost like it's therapeutic. And I was like, no, that's not exactly what our music is about, right? Our music isn't just to set the tone, right? The music that we listen to or that we sing here on Sunday mornings, we listen to in the car, we have in our AirPods and our ears, right? That's not to therapeutically help us in our faith. No, it's what comes naturally out of our heart. He says in here that when you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it says you can't help but be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. It's the grace. It's a gift. It's the blessing brought to us by Jesus Christ. That word thankfulness. That God is so, so good, isn't he? It's one of the things that I worry about as a youth pastor. That so many of our songs that we are teaching our young people today, they feel like they can't sing it unless they're in a big group or that the music is playing in a certain key that they could sing. I remember when I was a teenager that we'd have a lot of youth gatherings where we would just sit around a fire or we would just sit in a circle and we would just sing a cappella or we would just sing with a simple guitar. And I still remember some of those songs that we sang. I can still sing them in my not so great singing voice because they're in there. I was taught them, like the song "God Is So Good." Does anybody remember singing that? I remember when I first was kind of taught that in youth group. I was like, "What's the point of this song? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me." Right? And you just sing that over and over again. But I can't tell you the times in my life where I've had to allow the peace of Christ rule and reign in my life, that I've had to allow the word of God to be what I cling to, where that song or one, another song like it comes to my mind and I think about the goodness and grace of God. And so what this passage is saying is that the more we let the peace of Christ rule, the more that we are thankful. The more we let the word of Christ dwell, it comes out of us overflowing thankfulness. And so when we are in a state of being thankful, grateful, grace-filled, when we are stuffed, bursting forth with thankfulness and gratitude, even song, then he closes by saying, then everything we say and do should be about Jesus. So last thing he says here is, let the name of Christ be known. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Number three, let the name of Christ be known. Whatever you do, word or deed, covers everything. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Because knowing Jesus and letting him reign and rule in your life changes everything. Everything that you do now should be done for the Lord, right? You go to work for the Lord. You clean up your yard for the Lord. You do your homework for the Lord. You do your chores for the Lord. You spend time in God's word for the Lord. You come to church for the Lord. You spend time with friends. You watch sports for the Lord. It's not a checklist of things you have to do for God. No, it's that everything you do is for God because you want to. You want Jesus to be the star. You want the name of Jesus to be known. It's the opposite of the world today. The world today says, I want to be known. I want thousands of people to follow me. I want to be a star. I want to be an influencer. It's a crazy world that we live in, that a homeless girl living in a car, a cow farmer, a septic tank clean driver, these people can get on social media and they can become famous within a matter of months or weeks or even days. That they can have hundreds of thousands of people that want to look into their life and see what makes their life interesting. But those people can't help you when life's falling apart. Those people can't give you the wisdom and the advice that you need when you don't understand what's going on in this world. They can't help you, but Jesus can. Jesus can, and so let's make Jesus famous. It's not about us. Instead, because our new heart is renewed every day and we let the peace of Christ rule and the word of Christ dwell, when you trust God at all times, what happens is you die to yourself and you live for Christ. And then everything you say and do is about him. But here's something that blew me away the more I studied and meditated on these three verses. Do you realize that gratitude or thankfulness doesn't motivate us to obey him? Let me say that again. Gratitude or thankfulness doesn't motivate us to obey him. Maybe you've heard in your life, like I have, right, that Jesus has done so much for us that we should want to do all for him. This passage is saying, let everything you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. But it's not the thankfulness or the gratitude that's going to motivate us to obey him. What motivates us to obey him? It's our faith. And you see, our thankfulness and our gratefulness, or our gracefulness, graceful, thankful for God's grace, allows us to focus on what Christ has done for us and on the cross and in our lives, and then we are thankful for all he has done, his past wonderful deeds, and that grace, not just past grace, but future grace, grace upon grace. It leads to trust and faith. And so this thankfulness and trust, gratitude and faith, has this dynamic relationship in the life of a Christ follower. And it is the trust and faith that leads to obedience. That's why you see all over in God's word that we live by faith, we walk by faith, the obedience of faith, the work of faith. Because when God's grace changes us, changes our hearts, changes our mind, changes our actions, with thanksgiving, it leads to faith. And our faith allows us to do all for Jesus, letting his name be known. Are you making Jesus famous wherever you are? When you're in the line at the grocery store, or in the drive-thru, when you're going for your morning walk or your afternoon workout, when you're headed into work or school or hanging out with some friends, visiting some relatives, are you making Jesus famous? Because you know what? Those of us that know Christ, we are all witnesses everywhere, all the time. And so what Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3 is that if we know the name of Christ and want him to be known, if we know the word of Christ and let it dwell richly in us, and if we know the peace of Christ and let it rule, then if we do those things, then we will be thankful with thanksgiving, giving thanks. And so let us this morning be thankful, grateful, graceful, grace-filled, overflowing, stuffed full of thankfulness. And if not, let's go back to the table. Let Christ have his way with me, with us, with you. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a lot of people in this room from all different ages, and I can't begin to guess what all has been going on in your life this past few days, this past month, this past year. I don't know all the difficulties that you may be facing, all the trials and the worries and the stress. I don't know if you felt like you've lived the life that Christ wants you to live, or you've come in this morning struggling, feeling like you can't live up to what you need to do. The message this morning is not to try harder or to do more or to just write out things that we're thankful for. The message this morning from God's word is allow Christ to reign and rule in your life through his peace and his word and by making his name known, and be thankful. Allow the thankfulness that comes from allowing these things to reign and rule your life to just come out in thankfulness. And if you're here this morning and you need to trust Christ, whether it's trust Christ for your salvation or trust Christ for today, you need to allow him to do that. You can do that right where you sit with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You can pray and talk to the God of the universe, our creator and our sustainer, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And just tell him that you want him to reign in your life. You want him to rule. You want him to have his way with you, and you want to make him famous, not you. If you're in this room and you've never done that, you've never come to the fountain of God's grace and put your faith and trust in him as your Lord and Savior, then you can do that right now. Right now, you can cry out to God and say, God, I'm so sorry for the things that I've done. Please forgive me. From this day forward, I want to give my life to you. I want to let your peace rule in my life. I want to let your word dwell in me richly. I want to make your name known to all nations. Just please come into my life. Forgive me, save me, change me. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, really meaning that prayer, in a moment we're going to sing and I'm going to be down here in front. I'd love to talk to you about that decision that you made to put your faith and trust in Christ. Some other people in this room may need to do business with God. You could pray in your seat or you come down here to the altar. Maybe some of you need to join with this church, or you want to declare publicly and make Jesus known and famous from your life. If that's you, then as we sing, we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. But for each and every one of us in here, are we stuffed full of thankfulness? Do we allow the peace of Christ to rule and reign in our heart? Help us, God. Help us to be in your word. Allow it to dwell in us richly. Let us make it not about us, but make it about you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing? Amen.